from her debut collection, Babies on Fire, from Press 53. It was great having you on Between the Covers today, Liz.
Thank you so much, David.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the inaugural Portland Youth Poet Laureate Project. On Monday, September 28th at 7 p.m., 12 of Portland's poetry ambassadors will compete to become the Portland Youth Poet Laureate. The event will take place in the Artist Repertory Theater, 1515 Southwest Morrison in Portland. Again, that's Portland Youth Poet Laureate Project, a program of Spit Right, Monday, September 28th at 7 p.m. at the Artist Repertory Theater, 1515 Southwest Morrison in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Laurelhurst Theater and Pub, independently owned and operated, featuring modern, independent, and classic films, microbrews, pizza, salads, and wraps, located at East Burnside and 28th in Portland, 503-232-5511 or laurelhursttheater.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Film Show on KBOO. I'm SW Conser, and I'll be joined in just a few minutes by my co-host, Jen Chavez. Jen will be talking this morning with Don Smallman, director of the Portland Eco Film Festival. Don and the crew will be kicking off this year's lineup with an outdoor screening and kayak convergence at Portland's Selwood Riverfront Park. And I'll be joined in the studio by Gwen Callahan. Gwen will tell us all about the 20th anniversary H.P. Lovecraft Film Festival and Cthulhu Con coming to the Hollywood Theater in October. But first, we are joined from Central Oregon by Bend Film Festival director Todd Luby. Todd is very busy right now putting the finishing touches on the festival, which gets underway in just a few days. But he's taking some time away to talk with us. So, Todd, welcome to the film show.
Well, thanks for having me on, Conch. I really appreciate it.
So the Bend Film Festival has been going on for 12 years now, and you've taken over how recently?
Last year was my first festival, so I'm about a year and a half into the job in total.
You're a filmmaker originally from Chicago.
Yes, sir.
And what's it like to be out in the middle of the high desert?
It's fantastic. I love the sunshine, love the natural beauty around here. And the people in just this town is a great fit for me and my family. So we're really enjoying being out here.
Well, we know that Bend has expanded greatly in the 12 years since the festival got underway. So what's different about the scene?
Well, Bend's growing. Every, say, day, more and more people learn about Bend, come to it for all the different things that we're offering, you know, especially with recreation stuff. Craft brew, fine dining, all the stuff that you look for in a sort of touristy town. But there's a really healthy and burgeoning arts and culture scene here as well. And, you know, it's great to be a part of Bend Film, which has an integral part in kind of the rise of the cultural community here and a prominent place in it. So it fits in well with all the rest of the great fests in Oregon, too. Oregon is unique in that it's really spoiled in having a lot of great fests, and we're proud to be one of them.
Well, I think a lot of people expect the film scene to be clustered around Western Oregon along the Willamette mm-hmm. Valley. So how does the Bend Film Festival support Native filmmakers who might be working mm-hmm. out there in Eastern Oregon, Eastern Washington, in that area?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, every year we have, you know, a Northwest program. So this year we'll have Northwest Shorts, where we have films by Northwest filmmakers in a shorts block, you know, one of them being Brian Lindstrom's Mothering Inside. And last year we had 10 or so locally made films, local meaning, you know, in the Northwest, and then specifically to Bend, we had quite a few too. So we support local filmmakers through those programs during the fest. And we also have education programs like Future Filmmakers that also exhibit work by up-and-coming local filmmakers.
So tell us about some of the highlights. You have an opening night film this year that's an interesting documentary about a curious aspect of the music scene.
Yeah, this is one of the better docs I'd seen all year, and so I'm really thrilled that we were able to get it for opening night, and then we'll have the producer of the film here. It's called Breaking a Monster, and it's about these 13-year-old kids from Brooklyn who had... they've been playing music on a street corner and were so talented that people were just taking cell phone videos of them playing on the corner in Brooklyn. And then these videos went viral. And soon enough, they got an offer from Sony for a recording contract. And then you see the manager trying to mold them into, say, professional musicians. And it's so interesting to watch, you know, just how the, you know, music industry can be kind of soul-sucking. You know, it's just so much more apparent when you watch kids go through this than adults. And I think they navigate it pretty well and with a lot of maturity. So it's thought-provoking, but it's also extremely entertaining and accessible.
So I see that one of the highlights is a film called Songs My Brother Taught Me, which is filmed in Lakota country. Tell me a little bit about that.
Basically what it is it premiered at Sundance this year, and it's by this first-time filmmaker, and she had lived on the Pine Ridge Reservation for a couple years and then just decided to try to do a movie. So she basically, the whole cast are people she had known and developed relationships with on the Pine Ridge Reservation, and it's really a beautiful, moving film. And last year we showed films up at the Warm Springs Reservation, and we want to continue that. You know, we'd partnered this year, again, with the museum at Warm Springs, with the Confederated Tribes, and also now the School District of Madras, which just built this beautiful new performing arts center in Madras. So we're hoping to get a good crowd from Warm Springs to come down to Madras, and also get people from Madras to come out to see Songs My Brothers Taught Me on Friday. Friday at 6 p.m., October 9th.
Now, you are a filmmaker who has traveled around Liberia, made a documentary there. So you're obviously very plugged into the international film scene. You're bringing a number of international films to the Bend Film Festival.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Well, this year we have a festival programmer by the name of Mimi Brody, and she has a lot of experience and a lot of knowledge in context in foreign films. And she had seen some great ones and decided to add a program this year to the festival that's specifically international films. So we have three great films screening in that category. One's a Romanian film called Ephraim, and another is Mediterranean. And it's a pretty topical and timely film about immigrants, you know, traveling across the Mediterranean Sea. And we all know that's all over the news right now. So it's a really timely film. And then the last one is one out of Colombia called Embrace of the Serpent. And it's a really popular film, come out of Cannes, and a really beautiful film as well. So it's a really great program. We're showing 82 films, features and shorts, and the vast, vast majority of these will never hit another theater in Oregon. So it's a really good opportunity to see these movies on the big screen. It might be one of the only ones. So definitely make some plans to come to Bend to check them out.
Well, with that in mind, tell people some information about the Bend Film Festival this year, the dates and places, and how to find out more information.
Yeah, so the Bend Film Festival this year runs from Thursday, October 8th, starting with the opening night film at 5:30 p.m., and it runs through Sunday, October 11th, and Sunday's the day where we show all of our award winners. To get tickets and information on lodging, it's best to visit our website at bendfilm.org, and you can look under the 2015 festival dropdown and get all the information you need.
And after the film festival's over, are you working towards more cultural events year-round that might be in the Bend area, the Deschutes County area?
Yeah, so that's another thing we started doing a lot more last year, is having community screenings of different films that are of particular interest to the community. So we want to do that, you know, at least every month we'll have some kind of special film screening. Our next one is November 10th We're showing this great film out of Sundance called The Mask You Live In, and we're going to have a larger conversation about masculinity surrounding the movie, which is basically the theme of the movie.
Well, Todd Luby is the director of the Bend Film Festival. He's called in today from Central Oregon. Todd, thank you so much for joining us on KBOO.
Well, thanks for having me once again, Conch, and we hope to see everyone here at the Bend Film Festival October 8th through 11th.
You are tuned in to the film show on KBOO. I'm SW Conser, and in a few minutes, I'll be joined in the studio by Gwen Callahan, co-director of the H.P. Lovecraft Film Festival and CthulhuCon. Right now, though, I am joined by my co-host, Jen Chavez, and Jen's going to be talking with Don Smallman, director of the Portland Eco Film Festival, which will be kicking off with an outdoor screening at Portland's Selwood Riverfront Park. So, with no further ado, here's Jen.
The Portland Eco Film Festival, a year-round resident of the Hollywood Theater, is dedicated to showcasing films about nature, the environment, outdoor pursuits, and eco-conscious living. Hardly out of place in our fair city, which is wrapping up a highly environmentally conscious summer. Whether it's water issues in our rivers and reservoirs, or opposition to fossil fuel projects in the region, or a small community coming together to save a few giant sequoias, conservation and sustainability are on the lips of many Portlanders, even those of Mayor Charlie Hales and his new challenger for the seat, Ted Wheeler. In the midst of these discussions, this month the Portland Eco Film Festival has two special events in store, an outdoor riverside screening of Upriver this Saturday at the Selwood Riverfront Park, and a premiere of the climate change documentary This Changes Everything on October 12th and 20th, featuring Naomi Klein herself, as well as the film's director, Avi Lewis. I was joined in our studios by the Portland Eco Film Festival's director, Don Smallman, to learn more. Don, thanks so much for joining us, and welcome to the film show.
Hi, Jen. Thanks for the invitation.
Absolutely. Glad to have you. So not one, but two installments of the Portland Eco Film Festival in the upcoming month, including one this weekend. It's a special outdoor premiere screening, and I'd love to start with that. It's a film about the Willamette River, on the Willamette River. The locally produced documentary is called Upriver, and the place is Selwood Riverfront Park. What are some of the issues explored in Upriver?
You know, Upriver is a really beautiful film that's quite a celebration of a number of different Oregonians, groups, and individuals who are just sort of embracing the future of the Willamette River. As you know, the Willamette River runs through a significant number of people's backyards, both here in the city and outside of the city. And so it's really about this awakening that's happening in the communities that are along the riverbanks and people coming together to do everything from like stream restoration in their backyards where the Willamette flows through, to people hosting, you know, cleanup events, to people just, you know, getting in a kayak and loving the river and using it for recreation, or getting in an inner tube and going down and being part of a, you know, big summertime event. So it's a wide range of people just sort of digging the Willamette and saying the Willamette River can be this awesome thing, and we're going to grab hold of it and steer it in a really great direction.
Right, you know, and the direction of this is good to talk about. I mean, because we've had a very eventful summer in the region when it comes to rivers. You have on the Columbia conservationists trying to defend Columbia Gorge water rights from Nestle. And of course, the now internationally famous Shell No protests under the St. John's Bridge. Do you think there's been an increased interest in environmentalism and activism around rivers in Portland? Why is the timing right for this film right now?
I do think there is an awakening, and I know that at the Portland Eco Film Festival, a lot of the people that we talk to come to our screenings. We have Q&As after all of our screenings, so we get to know our audience pretty well. There's a huge community of water activists here in Portland, and
absolutely,
I would count myself in that group and proud to do it. And I think you're making a really interesting point about those two events, and I think we're hoping that this Saturday screening of the premiere of Upriver will be a celebration for all those people who are involved in those events. And then there's also, like, coming up in a week from now is the Willamette River Keepers Great Willamette Cleanup. That's an annual event. They're part of our partners. We just also, part of our group of partners is also the Human Access Project. They host the Big Float every summer, the party happens on the 11th.
Absolutely.
So there's just tons of different people coming together. And I think people are also starting to understand that the waterways are major pinch points for what's about to happen in the Pacific Northwest with fossil fuel imports and things like that. So people are getting active on the river for fun reasons, for politically active reasons. And I think it's all kind of coming together.
Well, could you give us a few more details about the event on Saturday? I understand if you show up kind of early, you yourself can paddle the mighty Willamette River.
That's true. We have a bunch of people who've come together for this premiere screening. And because we've had a really good community support by these groups, we're able to offer the whole event for free. So that means that in addition to getting the film for free, you're also going to be able to paddle for free. You're going to get the first 200 people who are attending are going to get free burritos from our festival sponsor, Chipotle Mexican Grill. And so there's free music as well. The event starts at 5 with all the pre-film activities. The film actually happens at 7. And I'd love to give a shout out to all the people who made it happen, if that's okay.
Oh, of course.
It's a collaboration between the Portland Eco Film Festival. We are also part of the Hollywood Theater, Portland Parks and Recreation, Willamette Riverkeeper, the Human Access Project, Alder Creek and Kayak and Canoe are the people are going to be bringing the canoes and the SUPs for people to go out on free on the river for free for. And My Memorial Trust, Chipotle Mexican Grill, and the Bureau of Environmental Services. And then I would be remiss if I weren't mentioning a thank you to Freshwaters Illustrated and Jeremy Monroe, who is the director of Upriver, for allowing us to premiere his film with this event.
Yeah, guys, quite a team behind it. And again, that's Saturday at 5, is that right? Saturday at 5 at the Selwood Riverfront Park.
5 is the event time start with the paddling and the music and the food, and 7 is when the movie's going to roll.
Very cool. So moving on now to the West Coast premiere coming up on October 12th of This Changes Everything. This centers around a book by Naomi Klein called This Changes Everything, Capitalism Versus the Climate, and she is featured in the film. What can you tell us about this theme, capitalism versus the climate, and how this film and her book explores that?
It's a really interesting tying together of environmental justice and climate action and social justice, and the need to put those ideas together and make a united front. Her book explores the idea that capitalism has everything to do with the climate track that we're on and climate change, and that you can't undo one without addressing, you know, undoing aspects of the other. It also makes a really interesting point and connection to the fact that the climate fight can't be fought just through photographs of, you know, polar bears in peril on icebergs, but we actually have to bring it down to this human level and say that climate change is affecting the most vulnerable people and is being caused by the richest people, basically. So it's
that idea of class divides in terms of climate change is really interesting. And climate change refugees, you're seeing, are poorer folks like around the world. And yeah, I'm glad you bring that up.
Her book's really amazing and has been a worldwide bestseller. And the film is made by Avi Lewis, who is also a journalist and filmmaker, and he also happens to be her husband. So the two of them actually she took on writing the book, and he took on making the film in a simultaneous track. And so it's kind of an interesting thing.
That's a multimedia husband and wife project.
Yeah, they're
that's so cool.
Power couple. So we're going to have both of them there at the screening on October 12th at the Portland Eco Film Festival to do a Q&A. She's also going to do a short
terrific
book signing. Before the event, we're going to also have like a bunch of conservation groups and social justice groups that are going to be tabling ahead of time. And we'll put the information up on our website about that soon to come. Also, I wanted to let people know that we've had such interest for our Monday, October 12th screening of This Changes Everything that we're adding a second screening on Tuesday, October 20th.
Terrific.
And can I tell you where to find us on the web?
Yeah.
You can find us on the web at portlandecofilmfest.org, also on Facebook at Portland Eco Film Festival, and we're also listed on the Hollywood Theater site.
Awesome. I've been speaking today with Dawn Smallman, the director of the Portland Eco Film Festival. Dawn, thanks very much again for joining us today on the film show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jen. That was Jen Chavez with Dawn Stallman. I'm S.W. Conser, and you're listening to The Film Show on KBOO. And now we're joined live in the studio by Gwen Callahan, Gwen's going to tell us all about the 20th anniversary H.P. Lovecraft Film Festival and CthulhuCon, which is coming up at the Hollywood Theater. Gwen, welcome to KBOO.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Now, for those listeners who've never heard of H.P. Lovecraft, he's a once obscure author of horror stories, now celebrated around the world. Mm-hmm. And he's not without controversy. He was a 20th century white guy living in New England, an introvert, some might say a shut-in, with some odd social opinions.
Yeah, there's been talk about some of his more racist views, and I've heard people say like he was a horrible racist, and I don't necessarily think that that is true. I think, you know, he was advocating for sending black people back to Africa or building a wall to keep them out, or like advocating killing them all in a genocide or anything like that. When people say he's a horrible racist, I imagine someone who's, you know, inciting people with pitchforks and burning crosses on their lawn. And that was not him at all. Like, he definitely had views, but they weren't, you know, out of line with the views that a lot of people had during that time period.
Yeah.
We're talking about the 1920s and 1930s.
Right. Unfortunately, not an uncommon thing when Life magazine was doing glowing portrayals of fascists and folks
right.
in Italy.
Yeah. And that's not to excuse his, you know, views or anything like that, but I sort of look at it like, you know, you have grandparents. Most people had grandparents, and they had very similar views, and they would sometimes say things that were off color or whatever. But most, like, my grandparents were savvy enough to not actually say like bad words or sort of like air their views in front of polite company, because they knew it wasn't acceptable. They kind of learned over time. And I feel like H.P. Lovecraft was the same. He had views when he was younger, but as he got older and he lived in New York for a while and got married, and then he actually got out of Providence for a little while and met other people and expanded his views, and his views softened and changed a little bit. And nobody ever talks about that, but, you know, people grow.
Right.
And he did as well.
And what you're celebrating at the film festival is his wild imagination. He came up with these entire worlds. You know, this was around the time of, say, J.R.R. Tolkien coming up with all of Middle Earth. And he came up with this world that had a whole sort of theology, so to speak, about it. And it was very frightening and all consuming.
I'm going to sound like a total nerd now. When people talk about the Cthulhu mythos, so Cthulhu is a character an alien, like a monstrous alien that he created, who had an octopoid head and bat wings and claws and a soft belly. And he would just think of these creatures that were just like nothing else that we had ever seen. And they were often chimeric, like built of elements of other things. And one thing Lovecraft was great about was not always describing in detail what the narrator or person was looking at, the horrible thing that they were looking at. And he allowed you to kind of fill in the blanks with your imagination. So sometimes his descriptions of monsters would be like, it was like a rotting corpse, but not unlike a horse, and, you know, had elements of fungal spores, but it had a, you know, chitinous shell. So you take all these things together and kind of put him in the blender, and then if you asked five different people to draw what he described verbally, you would get five different, totally different things. So it's really reader interactive, because you have to, you know, kind of draw on your own experience and what you know about these things that he's describing to come up with a picture of what it is.
Well, speaking of nerdiness, you know, a lot of fantasy and science fiction and horror nerds going back to the 40s and 50s have been adapting Lovecraft stories. Rod Serling and his writers did a few. And for the past 20 years, your film festival, the H.P. Lovecraft Film Festival and CthulhuCon, has been showing really low budget and independent short films and features that that have really kind of promoted the span of Lovecraft, and now you get Guillermo del Toro and other Hollywood filmmakers who are much more interested in his stories and bringing them to giant expensive productions.
Yeah, there's been a lot of buzz about At the Mountains of Madness that Guillermo del Toro is planning. A lot of disappointment when he hasn't been able to get funding. And really, it's an artistic choice, I think, for him. He has said basically that he doesn't want to commit to having a certain rating on it because he doesn't know how it's going to come out. He did Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, and he was expecting like PG or whatever, but the MPAA rated it rated R because it was too intense.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, there's a little bit of blood in there, but there's not really a whole lot of gore. There's not like a slasher monster movie where there's blood and sex all over the screen. It's really kind of a simmering things under your bed and in the closet type of movie, but apparently it was just so frightening that the Motion Picture Rating Association was like, no, this is an R rating.
Well, tell us about some of the highlights of this festival coming up. It's coming up the first weekend of October, is that right?
Yep, it starts Friday, October 2nd. It's at the beautiful historic Hollywood Theater.
And you've got a marketplace with lots of things to buy and trade there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, we call it our Mall of Cthulhu, and we have booksellers. Bedali Jewelry is going to be there. They have licensed literary kind of fantastic jewelry. They actually were responsible for making the ring in the Fellowship of the Ring movie.
Oh, wow.
That you saw, the one that was the big one that was on the block. And they've officially been licensed to make the actual jewelry rings, but they make these little Necronomicon books that you can open up and Miskatonic University class rings. We have sculptors, and you can buy journals with like Necronomicon faces on them. We have t-shirt vendors. We've got Strange Eons magazine coming, and that Strange Eons magazine is great. It's got a lot of graphics, comic book style things, and fiction. And then in the Hollywood Senior Center, which we have dubbed the EOD Center for the weekend for Esoteric Order of Dagon, has also Artist Alley and a Publisher's Alley, and that's where we'll be having panel discussions and author readings.
Well, and so how can people find out about the festival itself? There are short films, there's features, there's filmmakers showing up with Q&As. Mm-hmm. Where can people go to find out more?
They can go to hplfilmfestivalpdx.com, and all that information's on there. We've got over 50 short films from around the world, and you're going to see everything from like animated Legos to stop motion puppet to more traditional live action things. We have 6 great features. We're doing an homage to Christopher Lee, who very sadly passed away earlier this year. We're going to be showing City of the Dead and a new Poe anthology actually called Extraordinary Tales. And one of those is narrated by Chris Lee, and actually Guillermo del Toro narrates one that's as well. We also have a feature film from Canada, which is called Black Mountainside, and they were the winner of our 2013 screenplay contest. So we're super excited that people are actually going to be able to see the movie that won the screenplay contest.
Well, Gwen Callahan, director of the 20th anniversary H.P. Lovecraft Film Festival, thanks for joining us in the studio.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And now here's Jen with the film calendar.
Here's a few film events coming up in the Portland area in the next month. This Friday and Saturday, September 25th and 26th, the Oregon Independent Film Festival will host Portland film screenings at the Clinton Street Theater in conjunction with events in Eugene. Friday and Saturday both offer afternoon and evening screenings of themed blocks of short films with an awards ceremony Saturday night. More info on that at OregonIndependentFilmFest.com. On Monday, September 28th, the POW Monthly Women-Centric Film Series will showcase the documentary Black Girl in Suburbia at the Clinton Street Theater at 7 p.m. This Oregon-made film looks into the experiences of Black girls growing up in predominantly white neighborhoods or suburbs. Details available at cstpdx.com. Beginning on Friday, October 2nd and running through early November, the Northwest Film Center presents their annual series Voices in Action, Human Rights on Film. They'll showcase documentary work by activist filmmakers from across the world that explore the use of film as a tool for social action. A list of films, showtimes, and more information can be found at nwfilm.org. Running October 2nd through the 4th, the Hollywood Theater will be home to the annual H.P. Lovecraft Film Festival and CthulhuCon 2015. The longest-running and largest event of its kind, the festival promotes the work of H.P. Lovecraft, literary horror, and weird tales through a variety of cinematic adaptations. More information at hplfilmfestivalpdx.com. On October 8th at 7 p.m., the Hollywood Theater will host an advanced screening of The Black Panthers, Vanguard of the Revolution, as a benefit for NAACP Portland. The documentary will be followed by a panel featuring Joanne Hardesty, local NAACP president and host of KBOO's own Voices from the Edge, as well as local Black Panther Party co-founder Kent Ford and other local Black leaders and activists. Details on that at hollywoodtheater.org. Also on October 8th, KBOO's monthly film series at the Clinton Street Theater continues with a 7 p.m. screening of the Beatles film A Hard Day's Night. More info at cstpdx.com or on our website, kboo.fm. Local Collective Cinema Project kicks off its fall season this month with an almost entirely female roster of filmmakers. On October 4th and 5th, they'll open with The Title Spoils the Ending, Films of Joyce Wieland, at the VFW Hall in Southeast Portland at 7:30 p.m. And on October 20th at 7 p.m., the Northwest Film Center will show their program Memory and Observation. Filmmaker Pam Minty will be in attendance to present her new film Direct Route, which observes a blind woman navigating her domestic surroundings, to be complemented by other short works. More details are available at cinemaproject.org. On October 12th, the Northwest Film Center will be visited by the Vancouver-based Iris Film Collective for their touring program End of the World, featuring 9 newly commissioned film-based works on hand-processed black and white 16mm film. Details at nwfilm.org. That about wraps it up. Have a great month, everybody.
Thank you, Jen, and thanks to our guests today, Gwen Callahan, Don Smallman, and Todd Loopy. Thanks also to the Oregon Media Production Association for their support and collaboration, and thanks to all our listeners on the radio dial and on the web. The audio for this show, as well as our extended interviews, will be available later today on our archive page, kboo.fm/thefilmshow. And you can keep up with us on Twitter, at @kboofilmshow. Now stay tuned for an afternoon of music on your homegrown Portland radio station.
And now the KBOO News at noon for September 24th, 2015. I'm John Schuck. Discrimination in Portland has a price tag. The Oregon Court of Appeals ruled Wednesday that the owner of a Portland bar, the P Club, must